بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. قال الله تعالى: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. صدق الله العظيم. Especially brothers and elders, inshallah, in the brief time we have in front of us, I would like to talk about something which is very important and something which is part and parcel of our life, and something which is a topic which is probably one of the most enjoyable topics for most of us. And this topic is about marriage. I mean, marriage, the topic of nikah and marriage, it's very detailed. You can talk for hours and hours and you can't really cover all the different aspects and angles of it. But in this time which we have before us, inshallah, briefly I just want to talk about some of the aspects with regards to nikah and marriage. As you know, nikah and marrying is a sunnah of our blessed messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of emphasis has been mentioned in the Quran and sunnah. Many verses of the Quran and many ahadith, narrations and traditions and sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasize, encourage people to marry. In the Quran, for example, just a brief few of these verses I will mention with explanation inshallah, which shows the importance and significance of marrying and importance and significance of marriage. For example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verse which I have just recited in front of you, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He has created you, and from yourself He has created you, the spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that so that you may gain solace and you may gain peace and comfort from your wife. This is the meaning of the verse, is that when a person gets married, whether it's a male or a female, the intention or the objective and the purpose of marriage is that both parties, both spouses, the husband and the wife, both of them, they gain peace, tranquility in this life. And with that peace and tranquility, it helps them, assists them in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in making the betterment of the hereafter and in the journey towards the hereafter. They help one another, both of them. And this is the reason why we do nikah. It's not just for the pleasure of the nikah, etc. Another verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He mentions that, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. This is a command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran. فَانْكِحُوا. In the Arabic language, Amr, it's a Sighatul Amr, which is a command, an order, that marry. فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, with women whom you desire. مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ, whether it's 2, 3, or 4, not 2 plus 2 plus 4, but 2 or 3 or 4, or 1, of course. And that's a whole different topic, but this is a command where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us and orders us that we should marry. Remember that a lot of people might be thinking that how come so much significance of marriage, because as you know that even in this day and age, the understanding of people has become such that why bother marrying when you can get the same pleasure without marriage? You see, in the olden times, everybody used to marry. But these ahkam and rulings and injunctions of the Quran, so much emphasis that nowadays the youngsters, people, they have a kind of understanding that we shouldn't get married. People stay unmarried till they're 35, 40, 50. We'll see, you know, when we grow old probably. You see, this is the reason. And why? Because there's so much encouragement, because marriage is not easy. It's not something, it's a joke. It's with responsibilities. It comes with responsibilities, which I will talk about. In the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was addressing the youngsters of his time. He had a group, a congregation, group of youngsters, and he was addressing them, and specifically he addressed them and he spoke to them and he said to them, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O group of youngsters, مَنْ اِسْتَفَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجُ. That one of you, whoever one of you, if he has the means of marrying, you can marry, the capability of marrying, the ability to marry, then this person, this youngster, should marry. فَلْيَتَزَوَّجُ. The reason, the hikmah, the wisdom behind it, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ, that because it keeps your gazes low, as you know that you have to save your eyesight and your gazes, you don't look at something which is unlawful, all the different aspects of things which are unlawful. So this marriage will help you and assist you in keeping your eyes away from the unlawful. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ, and it also guards your modesty. It will save you from falling into fornication, falling into adultery and committing something which is unlawful and haram. And then he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, the one who is not able to marry, because you might not have the means to marry, you don't have the financial means to marry, فَعَلَيْهِ الصَّوْمُ, then this person should keep a fast. And he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءُ, meaning that this fasting will be a shield for this person from his sexual appetite and desire and from falling into unlawful and into haram. If you have the means, then marry. And if you don't have the means, then keep on fasting. Because as you know, fasting and eating less food, and this is why the scholars mentioned that a person, in order to keep his sexual appetite and desire and lust low, he should eat less, and we should eat less. A Muslim should eat, as in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that the mu'min, the believer, eats less than a kafir, a non-Muslim. And we should eat less, not too much sleep, not too much eating, less food, less sleep, and less friendship with people and mixing with people. If you do that, then this person will be successful in this world and the hereafter. Anyway, that's besides the point. But he said that you should fast. Now fasting, it stops the person from his sexual appetite and desire. It quenches it. And sometimes people ask that we do fast. For example, in Ramadan, we do fast. And it does help. But sometimes people say that it's not just that it does not decrease the sexual passion and appetite, rather it increases it, which is true. Sometimes people do say that. The answer to that is that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that fast, meaning fast which was kept by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein they used to eat at the time of suhoor, you know, small amount of food, and at the time of iftar, dates and water, and that's about it. Not like us that we eat in suhoor, you know, whole plate full of rice, etc., and then in iftar we have a meal, and then in winter, because we eat at 4, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, after Tarawih, at night, 8, 9 o'clock, we have another meal. We eat more in Ramadan when we fast than we eat outside. So this is, of course, it's going to increase, meaning you should eat less. This is the meaning of fasting. So this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he was advising the youngsters that marry if you have the capability and the means to marry. And this is the reason, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his own action, he encouraged people to marry with his qawl, with his verbally as well as with his action. You know that he married, and three companions came to the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked the wife, they said, What is his action when he's at home? They wanted to inquire about his ibadah, his worship. And so that it encourages them that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they found out, they thought that he was very less. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not all night and all day in worship. He eats with his family, he helps in the household affairs, etc. So they said, he's the Messenger of Allah. We have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them said that, you know, he took an oath. Wallahi la uftiru abadan. I will never eat. I will keep continuous fast continuously. The other one said that, wallahi, by Allah, I will never sleep at night. All night long I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one, he said, wallahi la atazawwaju an-nisa. That I will, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will never marry in my life. Because I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home and he found out from his wife that this is what these three people said, he asked, where are those people? Where are those three people who said such and such and such and such? He called them and then he said that this is not Islam. Islam does not teach you that you worship all day and night. He said, well, look at me, I am an example for you that I eat as well as I keep a fast. Sometimes I keep a fast, sometimes I eat. وَأَرْقُدُ وَأَنَامُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَأُصَلِّي, I perform salah, I worship Allah in tahajjud as well as I sleep. When it's the time to sleep, I also sleep. وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ, and I also marry women. And then after that he said, فَمَنْ رَضِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, whoever turns his face away from my sunnah is not from me. Whoever turns his face away from my method and my sunnah, this person is not from me. This hadith, فَمَنْ رَضِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, is separate from the النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّةِ. Normally people think it's the same hadith, al-nikah min sunnati, which is another hadith narrated in Sunan Ibn Majah, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that nikah and marriage is from my sunnah, is from my way. Therefore, if you want to follow my way, you should marry. Yeah, there are many, many narrations like that. For example, another hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that whoever got married, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ, he has saved half of his iman. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي, then this person should fear Allah in just the remainder half of iman. Why? Because when a person marries, then half of his iman is safeguarded. Because if you look at the sins which a person carries out during the day, make a list out of the sins each person, see that not just half, more than half will be connected to the sexual desire. So there's a lot of emphasis and significance and relevance of marriage in Islam. And this is the reason why the fuqaha and the jurists have explained the hukm of marriage. They say that, for example, if a person is sure of committing fornication and adultery, then for this person it will be fard, obligatory to marry. If he's sure, if he in tayaqqana, meaning that he's absolutely sure that if I do not marry, then I will fall into fornication and adultery, then I will then for this person it is absolutely obligatory to marry. And this is provided that he does not fear that he will oppress his wife once he marries, the man. Or the woman, in this day and age when women oppress men, it's not just one way. Men oppress women, and there are many, many women who oppress men also. So it is fard. And if a person thinks that he's not sure of committing adultery, but he fears, he's not certain, that he fears that if I don't get married, I'll do something unlawful, haram, adultery or any other unlawful activity, such as masturbation, etc., or looking at unlawful nudity, etc., then for this person it is wajib, which is necessary, a degree which is slightly lesser than fard. But it's, you know, very important to marry. And then a person who, the third category is of those people who are halatul i'tidal, which means moderate circumstances. Because the fourth and the fifth category which is coming, I'll mention the fourth and the fifth. The fourth one is that when you fear that a person, when he marries, that he fears that once he gets married, he fears that he will oppress his wife. He fears that he will be unjust to his wife, or the wife fears that she will be oppressive or unjust to the husband, then it is makruh tahriman, which is close to haram, dislike to marry. And if the person is sure and certain of committing oppression and zulm, then it is haram and unlawful for this person to marry. And the category in the middle between these two categories, the obligatory and the necessary, and the disliked and the unlawful, is the one which is in the middle, where a person is in moderate circumstance. Neither does he think that he will commit adultery or fornication, neither does he fear it, neither does he fear that he will commit oppression and be unjust to the wife. Then for this person is sunnatun mu'akkada, which is emphasized, sunnatun mu'akkadatun marghuba, which means strictly emphasize sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is better than nafil ibadah, worship also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ahkam and the rulings of marriage. But you see, marriage is why are there so much significance of marriage? Because it's not very easy. There are ahkam, rules relating to marriage. We have books, hadith mentioned in books such as Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, etc., where there are narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning and outlining the huquq, the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife. There are many, many huquq. That's just the whole topic in itself. Before I go in that, because there might not be time for that, but I'd like to mention that when a person wants to choose or select a partner, then what's the criteria? This is a very important thing which people ask. There's a very famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ, that a woman is married for four reasons: لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. That some people marry because of the wealth. Some people, this is not just a woman, even a man, you can take it vice versa. A man or a woman, she's married or he's married for four reasons. You look at the wealth, that how rich he is or how rich she is, if he's got a bank balance, or does he have a good car. One of my friends, when I was in Syria, he mentioned to me that here, you can't find a girl, you can't marry until you don't have three keys. I said, what are the three keys? He said, you need a key of the car, key to a house, and key to your business. Unless you don't have three keys, you can be 40, but you won't marry. So this is, you know, it's not right, because when people remain unmarried, it's harmful. This is the reason why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that إذا خطب إليكم أحدكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه, Now, if you like, if somebody comes and proposes to you, whether for your girl, to the man, or to the girl, or to the boy, whose akhlaq, whose manner, whose character you like, فَزَوِّجُوهُ then marry him. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. That if you don't marry them, if you wait for everything else, that how rich he is, and when he gets money, when he's got a business, etc., this will cause destruction and fitna in the land. Because people will remain unmarried and they'll be lead to fornication, adultery, and all the other lawful activities, as you know. So he said that don't look at the wealth. These are not the criteria to marry. Some people marry because of wealth. Some people because of lineage, nasab. From what is the background? You don't look at the background. And some people look at, with regards to background, I remember, like a lot of people ask that, is it necessary to marry in your own caste? No, in Islam there's no such a thing as that. You can marry. The only thing is compatibility. There's a lot of emphasis, meaning kafa'a and kufr, which means compatibility. Sometimes you may have so much in common with somebody from a total opposite background, and you might not have the same thing in common with your cousin sister. You see, so compatibility meaning that the objectives, purposes, and goals and aims of life of these two people are same. If two people are students of Islamic knowledge, for example, they have the same aims and goals in life. They'll have compatibility and suitability between them, and they should marry. And the first cousin may not know what you're talking about, or she may, they won't understand and not even speak the same language, even though she's from your same caste. So only compatibility is important. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some people with lineage, some people with wealth, some people with hasad, you know, how good you are. He said, no, فَظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, that make sure you choose and select a partner on the basis and on the criteria should be deen, piety, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how pious this person is. Now deen, as you know, it's not just restricted word, it's a very general term, deen. Deen is a very general term. It includes everything from A to Z, from aqeedah. The first thing you look at the aqeedah of the person. That what is the aqeedah, the belief of this person? If the aqeedah is corrupt, then everything which is built on the aqeedah goes in vain, of course. You look at the aqeedah of the person who you marry. Then after that, you look at the outward worship, performing salah, zakat, etc., which is outward worship. And then you look at the inward qualities of akhlaq, of manner, of character. An example which I usually give, that when you seek and look and select for a wife, the homework when you ask about her and investigate about her, you should ask, for example, something like, if she borrows money from somebody, does she give it back on time or not? If she said, I'll give it to you, I'll pay you on Monday, does she pay you on Tuesday or on Wednesday? This is what you have to look at, the akhlaq. That is she an angry person or is she not angry? Similarly, a man, that is he always quarreling and arguing and disputing, etc.? This is what you look at. Sometimes a woman who is not punctual, completely on her Islamic outward worship, such as dressing or performing salah, but her manner and character is so good, it is better to marry her than a woman who is outwardly worshipping Allah, praying five times salah, and covering herself completely, but she is evil in her action and evil in her character and manner. And the same is true with the man. Because that woman who has good qualities, good character, good manners, you can change her within a week. She'll start performing Fajr Salah, she'll start performing Dhuhr prayer. She'll listen to the man, and similarly a man, the woman can change her. But that woman who covers and she's praying, but she hasn't got good manners, no good akhlaq, no respect, no adab, then this person, not that, she'll change you and you don't know when she'll leave even all of this praying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that deen, akhlaq and manner is very important. And this is the reason why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that look at the deen, and also from the deen, also from the other things, it does not mean that you can't look and you can't consider the other things. Like some people ask that, can you not consider looks and beauty? Not just that it's permitted, but rather you can look at that. Because one of the maqsad, the objective and purpose and goal of marriage is al-ishraq, which is being chaste and saving yourself from sin. If you are not attracted to the person who you are marrying, then how can it save you from sin? This is the reason why one of the ulama, I think it was Ibn al-Jawzi radiallahu anhu or somebody, he stated that when you go to see a girl, then first ask about the beauty. Or when you go to see about the man, you see the man, ask about his looks. When you are content and happy with that, then ask about the religion, about the deen, about the piety. Why? Because if you ask about the looks, and then you're happy with that, and then sorry, you should first, you should go and ask about the looks, and then you ask about the deen. And not ask about the deen, because if a person goes and asks about the deen and the piety of the person, and likes the deen and the piety of the person, be happy that this person is totally religious. And then after that, inquires about the beauty and the looks, and then dislikes the beauty and rejects him or her, that person will be rejecting the girl or the boy only on the basis of looks. The deen was perfectly okay. You see? And in the vice versa situation, you will be rejecting because of, not of deen, you will be rejecting because of, you will not be rejecting because of deen and because of the looks. So this is why you can get married. A lot of people ask this question that, you know, should you not consider it at all? No, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there's four things. The first, the primary consideration should be the piety of the person. And then the other three things, if you can get all four, then, you know, it's a bonus. So this is the way where, how to choose and select a life partner. And there are many hadith mentioned of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then this leads us to the discussion of the huquq, the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife, which I will not talk today because it's a very detailed topic itself. Inshallah, what I will do is in the next talks, I will dedicate the whole talk to the rights of the wife and the whole talk to the rights of the husband. Very important. Because you see, marriage is not, there's so much emphasis, it's not something easy. The responsibilities come with it. When you marry, the financial responsibility on the husband, he has to give the dowry, the mahar, and he has to look after her, take care of her, the wife as well. She has been ordered to obey the husband. This is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'atu idha sallat khamsaha wa qamat shahraha wa ata'at zawjaha dakhalat al-jannata min ayyi abwab sha'at." That a woman who performs a fast and prayer, keeps a fast and obeys the husband, she will enter from whichever door of Jannah and paradise she wants. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to marry. You have responsibilities. Responsibilities come with pleasure. As you know, in Islam, this is the concept, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. You can't always take gain benefit. This is the reason why interest is haram. Because interest, you always have benefit. You give £10 loan, you get 15. It does not matter what happens with the money which you give, whether there's loss or benefit. This is the difference between nikah and adultery, between zina and marriage. In zina, you get the pleasure without any responsibility. Whereas in nikah, the pleasure comes with the responsibility. So inshallah, I end with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the rich practice and what I've said. So you akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين وأوصيكم أيها المسلمون ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله تعالى أما بعد فيا عباد الله إن من العبادات في ديننا هو النكاح فقد حرضنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشجعنا عليه فقال في حديثه فيما روى عنه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحصن للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا فيما روى عنه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه وقد روى النبي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من تزوج فقد استكمل نصف الإيمان فليتق الله في نصف الباقي وقال تعالى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع وجاء أيضا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال تنكح المرأة لأربع لمالها ولجمالها ولحسبها ولدينها فاظفر بذات الدين وهذا النكاح وحكم النكاح أنه يختلف بحكم الرجل أو المرأة فتارة يكون عليه فرضا وتارة يكون واجبا وتارة يكون النكاح سنة مؤكدة مرغوبة في حالة الاعتدال يكون النكاح سنة مؤكدة مرغوبة فإذا تيقن الزنا فعليه الفرض ويكون عليه فرض فإذا خاف الوقوع في الزنا فيكون النكاح عليه واجبا وإذا خاف الجور والظلم على المرأة أو الرجل فيكون عليه مكروها تحريما أن يتزوج وإذا تيقن أنه يظلم أنه سيظلم المرأة فيكون النكاح عليه حراما وفي حالة الاعتدال يكون عليه سنة مؤكدة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حرضنا عليه بقوله في أحاديث كثيرة وبفعله لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصوم وكان يفطر وكان يتزوج النساء كما هو معلوم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا لربوبيته وإلغاما لمن جحد به وكفر وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله فيما أمر وانتهوا عما نهى عنه وزجر وأخرجوا حب الدنيا من قلوبكم فإنه إذا استولى أثر واعلموا أن الله تعالى قد أمركم بشيء بدأ فيه بنفسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن اليقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا. واغفر اللهم جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. ربنا اغفر لنا ولمشايخنا ولوالدينا ولإخواننا الحاضرين ولأرباب الحقوق علينا ولسائر المسلمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Allah straighten the road towards Taqim and Tabir. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا السماء انفطرت، وإذا الكواكب انتثرت، وإذا البحار فجرت، وإذا القبور بعثرت، علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. يا أيها الإنسان، ما غرك بربك الكريم، الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك. كلا بل تكذبون بالدين، وإن عليكم لحافظين، كراما كاتبين، يعلمون ما تفعلون. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم، وإن الفجار لفي جحيم، يصلونها يوم الدين، وما هم عنها بغائبين. وما أدراك ما يوم الدين، ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين. يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا، والأمر يومئذ لله. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده حمدا كثيرا طيبا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله